Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to another hour of Tribal Wisdom. I am your host, Cynthia Williamson, and happy Wedding Wednesday, everybody. We are halfway through the week, and happily so, and I hope you're making it a great one, so hang in there. The weekend is almost here. Tonight, there's so much going on. There's so much going on in the city. There's so much going on all over the U.S., so we're just going to make a couple of announcements before we go right into the show. If you are in Michigan, if you're in Detroit, please stop by Success and Wealth International 2013 Benefit Fashion Show. That is a show that is posted on Facebook by Facebook friend Mr. Davis from Bo Dylan Bow Ties. You want to check out what's going on there. It's going to be at the Farmington Caustic Center this coming Saturday at 2 p.m. So I'll post that in the event. If you're not in the event, go ahead and get yourself in there. I will try to invite some people in. If you want to know more about it, again, the Success and Wealth International 2013 Benefit Fashion Show. Bruce Davis has posted that on Facebook if you would like to attend and know more about that. You should also visit Touch My Closet Facebook page. They're having on March 3rd, I believe, they're having a fashion and business panel. You want to attend that, where Touch My Closet's Hanif Jordan is going to be one of the speakers there. You can visit her page and get more information. Don't be afraid to ask all about it. It's there. If you are in New York, where we are, by the way, this weekend happens to be the Brooklyn Fashion Weekend. You know, if you find yourself there, you might also meet me there as well. I think I will be attending a few. It's going to be, of course, in Brooklyn at Industry City starting this Thursday night, tomorrow night through Sunday, I believe. Most of the events are happening from 6:30 till about 9:30, 10 o'clock. Go online and look up bkfashionweekend.com to get more information, and maybe I'll see you there. It's going to be great. But tonight we're having a wonderful show. It's going to be a wonderful show. I declare it right now. I already know it. I don't know about you guys, but I'm here. I'm relaxed. I have my tea. I have my fuzzy slippers on. I'm nice and comfy because we're going to get into a nice conversation with Mrs. Felicia Houston of Anointed Wives Ministry. The topic tonight, how do you balance being a wife and having a life? How do you make the transition from being a girlfriend to being a wife? And does the media influence the role of a wife? If so, how so? I can't wait to get into that conversation because there's so many different types of wives on TV these days. And it's going to be an excellent discussion. So I'm not even going to hold you up. Let's bring in Felicia right now to say hello to everyone. Hey, Felicia.
Hello. Hello, everyone. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am doing very well. Thank you for having me. Appreciate
I'm so excited to have you on. You have no idea. Why don't you, well, you know what, for anyone who's listening on the internet, if you'd like to call in at some point with a comment or a question, please do not hesitate. You want to dial the number 347-996-3160. Press 1 if you would like to join into the conversation. If you just want to listen, that's fine too. But for now, let's ask Felicia, tell us who you are, where you're from, and what it is that you do.
Oh, I don't know if we have enough time. No, I'm just joking.
You do a lot. It's true.
I'm just messing with you. Okay. Like you said, my name is Felicia Houston. I was born and raised in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Growing up, I never wanted to get married. My mom said at age 5, I always walked around and told people I'm never getting married. And that carried on even into high school and well into college. Mm-hmm. But God had another plan for me. Mm-hmm. And I ended up I met my husband at church. We were both volunteered for a project that our church had. And I had seen him and he had seen me, but we had never really had a conversation or anything because he wasn't my type. and I wasn't his type. So it was just like, you know, whatever. He's nice. Good, praise the Lord. But that's not me. So, but we worked on this project together, and then we just talked and exchanged numbers and things of that sort. And 4 years later, we ended up getting married. So Chris and I now have been married 6 years. In December, we will celebrate our 7th year. I don't even remember how many kids we have. No, I'm just joking. We have a three-year-old daughter, a 6-year-old son, and I have a 14-year-old bonus child. For those of you who don't know what that means, that is a son that came with the package.
The bonus child.
The bonus child. That Chris had a son.
That
Chris had a son. Chris, my husband, had a son when I met him. So I don't call him my stepchild. I call him my bonus child because he helped me prepare me for being a parent. So, but shortly after I got married, I would talk with, and even before I got married, I talked with wives, and they had nothing. The ones I talked to, let's put it that way. I'm not saying that there weren't any wives out there that had good things. But the ones that I talked to didn't have anything positive to say about marriage, about being a wife, or about their husbands. Mm-hmm. And I found that to be kind of discouraging. And instead of hanging out with them, I just got into prayer, and God told me to do something about it and to start something. And I was like, start what? What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, start something for wives, with wives who think like you think. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Do they exist? Where are they? And so I told it to one of my girlfriends, and she and I started praying every Thursday morning at 5:00 for marriages that we knew were struggling, for wives mm-hmm. and for husbands and for just marriages in general. And then we just kept adding more people. And that was in 2009. Mm-hmm. And we're still going strong now. Now I think the one call we had the most callers was 65 callers on the call. And we pray, we get on a prayer call every Thursday at 5 a.m. Central Standard Time.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know your time zone, you're going to have to figure that out. I don't know all of them.
We've got the internet for that. We've got the internet, so it will not be difficult.
Right. But I get requests all the time. What time is it in Kentucky? I'm like, I don't know. I don't live there. But anyway, and we have a good time. And it's not just, we're not just praying. Sometimes we have different speakers on. Like tomorrow is going to be good. We have my good friend, Apostle Candace Ford, will be talking about walking in the help meet anointing. So we have different topics. Sometimes we talk about sex. Sometimes we talk about money. But we're really trying to minister to wives and wives to be. Because I feel that if you desire to be a wife, you need to hang around some wives and ask some questions and learn from people who are already in a position that you want to be in.
I have to interrupt you because when you say that, I have to say, I personally don't know too many happily married individuals. I know I can still count on at least 2 hands out of the couples that I know. And I can genuinely say that they are happy when I watch them, when I listen to how they speak about one another.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they are happily married. You know, you don't have to be happy all the time, but they really manage their conflict well. You know, they speak into each other, they talk to each other well, they talk about each other well. Where other ones, you know, where I see my friends, they're just itching to get married. They get married and it looks crazy. It looks absolutely crazy. So with you saying that you have to get around wives that to ask questions, how do you do that when there aren't too many around you?
I think you have to be intentional. And for me, I prayed about it. I'm like, God, I desire to be a wife. So can you bring some wives around me who are like-minded? And like, some certain ladies I would talk to them, and I'm like, okay, she's not it.
Definitely.
she's not her. So, and then others were, you know, and so I just really I just prayed for wisdom, and I prayed and asked for discernment in regards to which women I would talk to and which women I would avoid. And the majority of the women that I connected with were not even in the same state. Sometimes they weren't even in the same state.
I believe
but
it.
They were being the kind of wife that I wanted to be. So I was like, I'm going to connect with you. We don't have to see each other, but can I call you? Can I email you? Can I text you or something?
Right. Can you develop a support system
right.
for one another?
I think you just have to be, you know, wise, use some wisdom in regards to that. Because, yeah, you're right. There are a lot of women out there who are not, you know, in a position that is not anything that you desire.
Right.
And I hear a lot of single women saying that. They're like, I have no desire to get married. And I'm like, why? Yeah. Because everybody I know is miserable and married. And I don't want to be miserable and married. I'd rather just stay single. And
it's
I was
so
like, oh, that is so discouraging.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's why I try to encourage singles by my lifestyle, not by what I say, but also by what I do. So I think that's the best way that, you know, we can get rid of some of those myths about, you know, what it's like to be married. Because
okay.
I'm a firm believer that if you're miserable and married, and if I'm off, but this is just Felicia's theory,
mm-hmm.
you will probably be miserable and single. So this is my thought. This is my thought
okay.
on that.
All right. Well, I hope the ladies who are listening, everyone, not just the ladies, but the men who are listening as well, because I believe that most of the points that you are making will also apply to the male population. But if you're listening, you heard her say it. You don't have to just try to find individuals in your own state, in your own area. Please reach out to couples that you want to be an example of. Please watch these individuals, watch their life, and then choose to be discerning about hanging around certain married couples if you want to go ahead and have a good example. So you heard her say it.
I'm serious, and I have a perfect example. There's a young lady in South Africa who reached out to me, and she has been in a relationship with somebody, and she'll send me a message, Felicia, I think he's the one, da da da, and I'm like, sweetie, you met him yesterday. Okay. Yeah. Come on. Right. Come on. I know you got your blue blockers on, but I want you to take them off for a minute, and I want you to really pay attention to what he's saying and what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And probably about 3 weeks or 4 weeks later, she was like, "You were right. He was not the one." And I was like, "I wasn't saying he wasn't the one, but I was just saying, you know, let the honeymoon stage, you know." Pass,
yes.
And then look at reality, and
mm-hmm.
so and she ended up terminating the relationship, but that's what I'm saying. I'm in Chicago and she's in South Africa, and we talk on a regular basis via, you know, Facebook or email, so mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be somebody local. So
wonderful. I just want to make sure that they know that, because I believe there are a lot of discouraged women out here who do want to be married. They want to be in a happy marriage, in a long-term relationship. And sometimes what they're finding, or at least the examples of what they see of a marriage, is not what they're willing to get into.
Exactly. And I don't encourage anybody to settle. I believe that you should have some standards. You should know what your deal breakers are before entering a relationship with anybody,
mm-hmm.
so that if those things do come up, you know, they know what your deal breakers were prior to getting into the relationship.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
And try to discern the character of the individuals that you're spending time with, of who it is that you plan on marrying. Because I've seen a lot of individuals who dated someone for a long time, and just because they spent time with them,
mm-hmm.
it's like they don't want to lose that time, so they go ahead and get into a marriage with this person anyway, when kind of knowing, even if they don't know, like, on the surface, they just know deep down in their gut it's just not going to work out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But they do it anyway.
Exactly. And I think that, and I'm not saying men don't do this. I'm sure men do it too, but the majority of the people that I talk to on a daily basis are women. But a lot of women do that because they're like one lady just told me the other, she's like, but the invitations are already out. And I was like, I don't care. I don't care about the invitations. I mean, why? You're concerned about what the people who you sent the invitations out to are going to think about you if you call this wedding off. But what are you going to think 10 years from now, and you're miserably married to this person, and you knew that you shouldn't have married them in the first place?
Right. Right.
So forget about that pride and all of that. call it off. And I have two girlfriends who did that. One girlfriend had been in a relationship with the guy for 3 years, and the other girl was at the courthouse getting the marriage license.
Mm-hmm.
And when they got in the car, she tore the license up and was like, let me out of this car.
Wow.
And he let her out. And this is like, she's like, I knew it was something wrong, but she said, my confirmation was when he let me out the car and drove off.
Wow. You know what? You made an excellent point, and I want to touch on that again about certain characteristics, not the characteristics that you have to discern in your intended, but the characteristics that you need to discern in yourself. You just mentioned the word pride. Some people are just too prideful to let go of a bad situation. What are the other characteristics that we need to look out for? I mean, other than being prideful and not, you know, not wanting to feel embarrassed about calling a wedding off,
mm-hmm.
What are the other characteristics that people really need to be aware of?
I think people who want to desire to be married, one of the characteristics, the main characteristic that you need to be aware of, and like red flags, signals, lights, and everything, mm-hmm. is selfishness. If you are a selfish being, and we're mm-hmm. naturally selfish beings,
mm-hmm.
so it's not like we're born and, you know, we want to share, we want to help. No, we're naturally selfish. That is something to be mindful of, because in marriage, there's no room for selfishness.
Exactly.
There is no room for that. So while you're by yourself, start working on that. I mean, I know that was hard for me because I'm like, it's all about me. I'm doing me. I feel like going here. I want to go do this, and I'm gone. I got things to do, you know. And
right.
Once you get married, it's not that you stop doing things, but you have to consider the other person now.
Right.
And some people are like, you have to get permission. No, it's called being married. It's called being considerate. And if you want to stay married, you have to consider that other person.
Right.
And you call your spouse.
Right. So I think people need
you can't
to
just come and go as you please. You can, but you probably, you don't have consequences for that. So.
It's true. I think that when people hear the word that I have to get permission to do something, their pride automatically kind of jumps in and
yes.
You know, they still want to be a very independent person and be in control of themselves and not
mm-hmm.
realize that it is about, you know, it's consideration. It's not about, you know, I'm grown, I do what I want to do.
Right.
You know, it's the same way with your family. How do you treat your family?
Right.
You know,
exactly.
I'm a grown woman, but if I go out of town, I still will like inform my mother or my parents
exactly.
to say, I'm going out of town, not to get their permission.
Exactly. And, like, in a real practical sense, what I tell ladies when they say stuff like that, or men, because men mm-hmm. say that too, like, gotta get permission. It's like, yeah, because we're one. So,
right, right.
You know, we don't do things like make major purchases without each other. I use a real practical example, like, what about your job?
Mm-hmm.
When you want to take some time out from your job, you don't just, you know, just not show up.
Exactly.
Usually there's a procedure in place. You need to fill out a form, and they need to sign off and give you permission to have the time off. You don't, you know, you're not upset about that. So it's
right.
the same thing. It's
right.
because you want to keep your job. And I'm thinking, like, if you want to stay married, these are things that you need to do to keep
right.
the peace in your household and to remain married.
I've listened to a minister once who was talking about a similar subject, the same subject, actually. And he said, you know, if the Bible says that you're supposed to love your wife as Jesus loved the church,
mm-hmm.
he said, you know, Jesus told the people where he was going. He told his disciples
yes.
where he was going.
Yes, he did. Thank
he didn't
you.
Disappear. You know, there were certain things that he did to show love to the people
mm-hmm.
around him. And if you really, you know, reread the scriptures in that mindset, and you will follow what he did. You know, he made sure that they were fed. He was understanding when they didn't, you know, follow certain commandments. He took his time to really speak to them. He showed them a certain way to love one another, and that is exactly how we're supposed to love one another.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be a husband that, you know, loves your wife as Jesus loved the church, then you have to tell her where you're going.
I mean, and then if you just think about it just from a real, just practical standpoint, if you're married to this person or not, mm-hmm. and you haven't seen this person, they left at 8 o'clock in the morning, and you haven't seen them, and it's 10 o'clock, heard from them, and it's 10 o'clock at night, you may be concerned, genuinely concerned about them. It's not you trying to stalk them or you want to know their every whereabout, but it's we live in this house together, so I need to know, make sure you're okay.
Exactly, exactly, because you have a responsibility toward one another.
Exactly, exactly. Wonderful. And especially if you have kids and things of that sort, it's like you should be concerned about. If I'm at home and my husband is gone for 10, 12 hours, I'm genuinely concerned about him. But he should be also concerned about me because you haven't seen me or heard from me in 10 or 12
exactly.
hours. So.
Exactly. Okay, so that's, you know, so we said pride and selfishness. What are other characteristics that people really need to kind of look out for?
I think some other things that you need to look at in yourself, and I'm just talking about me, something I really had to, like, spend time with myself. I don't encourage people to jump from one relationship to another relationship to another relationship, mm-hmm. and I'm just speaking of me, because I considered myself at one point a serial monogamous.
Okay.
Where I just, you know, had these 3-4 year relationships, and, you know, but for what? What are you
right.
doing? You're 19. What are you doing? You know, but I really suggest that you have some time to spend by yourself, because then when you're by yourself, you get a chance to see what those characteristics are. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I'm prideful. Ooh, mm-hmm. but only God could show that to me when I was by myself. But as long as I'm in a relationship with somebody else, I'm so busy focusing on them and their faults that I wasn't really focusing on my own faults. I wasn't. I was like, oh, I'm the bomb. I'm like, please, I'm that person. They have issues, not me. But it took time alone mm-hmm. by myself and just really starting to evaluate the relationships. And I'm like, you know what? I'm the common denominator
right.
in these relationships.
Right.
So it can't be all of them. Something is going on with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to take my, you know, swallow my big girl pill mm-hmm. and figure out what was wrong with me. What
right.
were some things, what were some faults of mine? What were some things that I needed to work on if I desired to become married? So
well, you know,
like
what?
Some of these things can't go into a marriage.
Right. Well, then let's talk about, you know, the skills. And, of course, these are basic life skills. But I'm thinking becoming a better listener is probably one.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes. Ladies. I know the men are probably just yelling and screaming through the phone if they're listening. We know the statistics say that we use more words than they do,
mm-hmm.
twice the amount of words that they
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to become better listeners. And a concrete example that I use is we have 2 ears and 1 mouth
mm-hmm.
so that we can listen as twice. We listen twice the amount of time that we speak.
Right.
But majority of the time we spend time yakking. Like even during the dating process, you're so busy talking that you don't even hear the man saying, I don't want to be in a relationship. I have
exactly.
no desire to get married.
Exactly.
Oh, he's just joking. No.
Believe what they tell you.
10 years later,
mm-hmm.
I don't understand why he won't marry me. Well, he told you 10 years ago
mm-hmm.
he didn't want to marry you
right.
or anybody else
right.
for that matter. So, yeah, definitely listening skills, active listening skills, you know, because
yeah.
listening. Yeah, and learning how to communicate, because some of us just don't know how to communicate, and some of it is based on the way we were raised. Some of it is just based on bad relationships where we've
mm-hmm.
communicated poorly.
Mm-hmm.
But if we want healthy marriages, we have to know how to communicate in a healthy manner. And you can start practicing that with your friends. You know, if every time you get mad at a friend, you cussing and fussing and slamming the phone down, that's something that you need to work on.
Oh, and I see that all the time, and it actually amazes me, because, you know, the friends that I have lifetime friends that I've known, you know, since before I even knew myself, you know.
Oh, that's good.
You know, well, because, you know, I can say that my best friend, one of the best friends in the world to me, her father actually performed my parents' wedding ceremony. So,
oh wow,
our parents were married at this, you know, were pregnant at the same time. So we always say, look, we were friends before we even got out into the world.
Okay.
So, you know, some of my best friends, I have never had the experience of slamming phones down or getting to arguments and, you know, all those kinds of drama. And some of the things that I've seen, I thought that a set of friends were going to have a knockdown, drag out fight. And of course, they love each other again 10 minutes later, and then they're at it again. I'm like, you look like you're 5 years old.
Yes. That's another characteristic. Mm-hmm. In marriage, it requires maturity.
Let me write that down.
It requires maturity. So if you're doing those things that we just discussed, that is a huge sign of immaturity. So that's something you need to work on by yourself, because in a marriage, and I have a girlfriend who is engaged, mm-hmm. and it was the funniest thing. She said her and her fiance talked, like, you know, after they first met, and then they decided that they were going to date. And he told her this. He was like, I'm a fairly easy to get along kind of guy. Mm-hmm. He said, but there's two things I will not tolerate. I will not tolerate yelling, and I will not tolerate you hanging the phone up on me. Are we good?
That's good, because they discussed their deal breakers.
Right. And she was like, those are mine as well.
Okay.
We're good. And they're getting married in July. So,
wonderful.
But you got to be able to communicate effectively. And if you don't know, there are tons and tons of resources out there. So some of us, and I'm talking about African Americans, mm-hmm. some of us need some counseling.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Some of us need some counseling, because you're not able to communicate effectively because that's the way you were raised or because of bad relationships. So some of us need to go and get some counseling so that we can work through all of those issues prior to trying to connect with another person.
Okay, I see a panel discussion coming up on that. When you do it, let's talk about communication during a panel discussion or during your next event. I think that's going to be one of the big things to discuss.
Yes.
One of our former guests, Dr. Dwayne Schick, he wrote a book called Some Things to Know About Marriage Before You Have a Wedding and After Two. And that's a big thing that he discusses in the book, communication skills.
Yeah.
So if you need any, if anything, I'll be posting some resources in the event.
Okay, great. Right.
And of course, if you have any, feel free to post them in there.
Okay, I will.
Because it's very important that we all work on ourselves, married or single.
Exactly.
And like you said, maturity is the key.
It is the key. And maturity and age and maturity don't go hand in hand.
Yes.
Just because you're 40 doesn't mean you're mature.
Yes. I think I just told a couple of friends of mine that sometimes we still judge a book by its cover, some adult books by their adult covers when they're really not mature.
Exactly.
You know, and we really have to sit back and start judging them by their behavior and by their conversation and a few other things. So sometimes when you meet someone, ladies, just because he looks good and just because he's holding down a job or he has all of those things on your list, because y'all know y'all have a list.
You
want to check on his maturity level, his communication skills, and be a good listener to see where he is in his life.
Exactly. And another thing, I think just going along when we're talking about communication, is conflict resolution. Because how you manage conflict by yourself, it's going to be the same when you go into, it's not going to change.
Right.
When you go into marriage. So change that while and I said again, those are things you can practice with family, friends, coworkers to prepare you for that. You know, and ask, I just started asking questions. I just really just took me through like 6 years of just focusing on me. And mm-hmm. I just would ask people, I'm like, when you think about me, how do you describe me? What kind of person am I? What kind of communicator am I? How do I resolve conflict? You know, when you look at me, what do you think? You know, do you think I'm quick temper? You know, what do you think? And I noticed some trends.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to have to work on those.
Because
a lot of people said this same thing. So this is their perception of me. And if I don't want that to be the perception of me, then I have to change. So.
You know, I can really relate to that. I know me personally, I'm one of those individuals that I just don't like conflict at all.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't grow up with a lot of conflict in my house. I guess, you know, my parents were the type of parents where if there was conflict, they took it to the room or they took it wherever they needed to take it, and we didn't see it. So I grew up not really wanting to deal with conflict. And one of the things that my brother brought to my attention was that because I don't like to deal with conflict, I don't like to deal with the process of someone else's conflict. So if I'm already mature in a certain area and then he's or a gentleman is having trouble, and I'm like, look, I really don't have time for this. You need to get it together, you know? Because I'm just like, really, do we have to do this? And, you know, my brothers had to really sit me down and speak to me. They said, well, listen, everybody is not on the same level or they're not at the same place where you are, and it doesn't make them a bad person. But if you really care about someone, sometimes you do have to deal with their process of getting to a higher level with you. So dealing dealing with the process, I think, is something else that we probably could all sit down and talk to one another about.
Exactly. And developing patience, because patience is a huge thing. You know, just in any relationship, we need patience. But when you decide to get married, you need a whole bunch of patience. Yes, you do, Jesus. Okay. Yeah, but you need patience.
Did you have like a 2-second prayer right there for you?
Right, I did. I left you for a minute. I come back now. But yeah, you need patience and lots of it. Because, yeah, like you said, when you're dating somebody and you don't feel like you really have to respect the person. It's like, you know, we're just dating and this is not going to probably work out anyway. So you could just move on to the next, you know, and kind of move them to the side. But when you're married, you can't do that.
Yeah, and if you don't develop those qualities before you get married, you will carry that over.
Yes, and you'll be miserable because I pull your hair out.
So true. I remember telling when I was dating, I would tell people, look, I don't have a problem leaving. Let me just tell you right now. Married or single, I don't have a problem walking away.
Right. I was the runaway girlfriend. I'm like, this is not working. I'm out of here. Okay, I'm gone.
Exactly. All because I didn't want to deal with the process of really kind of, I guess, you know, the process of cleaving is not something that just happens in a marriage.
No,
it
absolutely not.
The dating process.
Yes, exactly. That's a whole other story. The cleaving part. Yeah, that's another show.
That's another show. We're gonna work that out.
Yeah, because it's a process, and the process is different for each person. You know, and we were having a conversation. Another wife and a single lady, she was telling us that it's easy to make the transition from a girlfriend to being a wife. And I said, how so? Because you haven't done it. So? How is it easy? Because it was hard for me. You know, the wife was like, it was hard for me. And I'm like, yeah, most of us are saying that it's not impossible, but it can be difficult because you're making a transition from being somebody's girlfriend, which can be temporary, to being somebody's wife, which is supposed to be permanent. So you're merging two different lifestyles together, two different upbringings together. So it's a challenge. It's a challenge. We're not naturally created that way for us to come together and just mesh. It's not natural.
And it's true for most of us, you know, again, for people like me who don't want to deal with conflict at all most times, you know, we have to kind of sit back and remember that we weren't all just born and ready to get along, by the way. So it's a muscle that you have to develop, that you're going to deal with conflict. You have to deal with difficult people, and you can't just throw them away.
Exactly. And I know a lot of people who do that in their friendships, and I'm like, that's not a good sign. So if you're the type of friend that anytime somebody ticks you off, you just kick them to the curb, or you don't talk to them for 2 or 3 months, and then you're back friends again.
Yeah.
Those are the things that you need to work through, because once you're married, like I said, you can't just throw your spouse to the side and not talk to your spouse for 3 or 4 months.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's not
going to
work. Yeah.
I'm like I said, I'm very grateful for my brothers. My brother James, he was the one. He's actually my godbrother James, I should say. When we had a big blow up once, and I thought that the friendship was just completely over, and I wouldn't pick up the phone, and then one day he called and he was so just, you know, jolly and everything, and I was just like, wait, we're speaking? And he was like, yeah, what's the problem? Look, I told you were messing up, I let you know, and now let's move on, you know.
Right.
And it was such a lesson in unconditional love. Most people don't really, you know, have a true lesson, even though we're in the homes with our parents. We don't have conversations about what unconditional love is and the characteristics of it. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's different in each household. I think in my household, my mom was the example. She was like the epitome of unconditional love. I'm like, Mama, they asked for money last month and they didn't pay you back. If you want to go back, oh, you want me to take some more money over there today? I'm not gonna be able to do that.
Right.
And my mother's like, girl, you just take this money over there and you give this to them because they really need it. I'm like, whatever. I think some of them are still mad.
But my mom
was she is the person that that taught me about unconditional love. Like, just watching my parents have been married for 42 years. Yeah, it'll be 43. It'll be 43 years in June. Mm-hmm. And I've just watched how my mom, there's times and I'm like, Mom, you sure you still want to stay in this?
Ooh.
And my mom, like, little girl, you stay in your place. I'm like, okay, Mama.
Okay. Stand robust business now.
Right, exactly. But I've seen her, you know, I've seen them have good times, I've seen them have some not so good times, but I've also seen her just stand, you know, and stand and just trust God that, you know, this is going to, we're going to make it through this. There's some rough times right now, but this is what marriage is like. You're going to have some good times, you're going to have some bad times, but we're in this. We're staying in this. We're not giving up. So.
Right. All right. Well, then why don't we just go ahead and touch on forgiveness?
Yeah, that's you.
You are the anointed wife, so please. Please give us
Because it's like whenever I post something on Facebook about forgiveness, it gets so much conversation. I know I'm supposed to forgive, but but what about when you just forgave him in one time and then he does it again and she keeps doing the same stuff over and over? How many times am I supposed to forgive somebody? And once I saw the one lady, I said, what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about the Bible. So the Bible says you're supposed to forgive 70 times. She was like, 70 times 7. So that's 490 times. She was like, I've forgiven him all those times already. Now what?
No, because I think it says a day, isn't it? Doesn't it say like 70 times 7, like in a certain time frame?
In a day.
If you forgave him only 400 times Tuesday, you might have to start that count over on Wednesday.
Exactly. And I just think that walking in forgiveness, that's not easy either.
It is not.
You know, nobody wants to be hurt. Nobody wants to be hurt. Nobody wants to be a doormat. Nobody wants anybody walking all over them and things of that sort. But I think for me, what helps me is when I think about all the stuff that I've done and all the times I've required forgiveness. I wanted people to forgive me, or I wanted God to forgive me, and he has. So I'm like, well, who are you to not forgive somebody? And I'm like, I feel like when I don't forgive somebody, I'm playing God, and I'm not. So I don't want to be God. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to forgive. And sometimes it's quicker, and other times it takes a while. It's a process. And don't let people tell you what that process looks like, because it's different for everyone. And I forgive you doesn't mean we're gonna hold hands and sing kumbaya.
Exactly. I was about to say, we have to go into that, because I am definitely one of those people, depending on, you know, what it is that I really need to forgive you for. I will still love you, but chances are I will love you from afar.
A long distance,
and you know, I'll be pleasant to you. But,
exactly, I'll be cordial.
You know, right, but you will not be entered into the inner circle, you know, again.
Right. But I do, when we're talking about forgiveness, I will say that when I talk to couples who have been married 30, 40, 50, 60 years, that they say that is what has kept them married. Forgiveness, and forgiving fast, but not holding on and letting stuff fester and things of that sort. So I think that in marriage, you really do have to, you know, while you're single, you practice that while you're single, but just know when you get married, you can't just be walking around holding grudges. You know, there are some ladies, I don't forgive him because he did this, 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 and they go on and on and on, and then something just tells us the Holy Spirit, I believe. And I said, well, when did he do that? But honey, oh, that was 16 years ago. Girl, you know what? You know what? I'm going to need you to get over it. Because you're still in the marriage 16 years later, but you're still holding on to stuff. That, and we've all done stuff like that where it's something you just like, I just can't forgive them. I don't want to.
Right.
I just don't.
But
I mean, it's holding us back.
But, okay, how do you, how would you deal with something like that? Because a lot of times when I hear wives talk, like you're saying, about something that happened so long ago, I always take it as an indicator of just how deeply hurt they were and how also it was not really ever addressed. And a lot of times the husband doesn't want to address it. So although you've forgiven him in a sense, you still have that deep-seated pain that you're feeling and you're not addressing it. You know, what do you do in that type of situation?
Well, this is you know, Felicia's theory.
It's all about the theory.
Right. I'm just a firm believer that the forgiveness is not for the other person, that the forgiveness is for you. Mm-hmm. So if you are not able to let it go and move forward, you're holding yourself back, you're holding your relationship back, and you can't move forward. So I'm like, I need to forgive you. If you know that you did wrong or not, it really doesn't matter, but I just need to do it for me so that I don't have a heart attack, that I don't have high blood pressure, that I'm not just walking around with this big, heavy burden, and I'm going to let God deal with you, you know, and your heart issues, because clearly you have some heart issues. If you don't know how bad you hurt me and you don't have any remorse or anything, that's a heart issue, and I can't change the condition of anybody's heart. So I'm going to give you to God, let God deal with you, but then I'm going to get it off my chest so that I don't have any heart attack or anything. Because that's what happens, I think, a lot of times, like more, like even with statistics, like this is heart disease month, and we've been doing a lot of things in regards to heart disease, and more women, more African-American women have heart disease, and I think that it's because of unforgiveness. That's just my thought. I think because we carry so much stuff around that then we end up with physical aches and ailments. But we can't sleep. We're not eating right. We don't, and you know, it's so many other things that goes along with that. So I just think that we have to forgive people for us, for yourself. Do it for you. You can just move on with your life.
Well, then let's connect that with Anointed Wives Ministry, because in order to go ahead and hear this from someone, you do need a support system. Wives need a support system outside of their husbands to have these types of conversations. And I believe that that's where Anointed Wives Ministry kind of steps in order to kind of mentor, counsel, and have a platform for you to have these discussions. So how does Anointed Wives Ministry step in to kind of guide wives and wives-to-be in these types of conversations?
Another Wives Ministry does it. We do a majority of our stuff via social media because it allows us to reach more people at one time, and it also allows you to just get different opinions from different people. And the reason that when I started it so that wives could have a place where they can go and just be who they are, but also to get a different perspective from another wife or a future wife, you know, or somebody who has been a wife. There are all types of women on our page. There's some married women, some single women, some divorced women, some widowed women. So we all get a chance to participate in the conversation, and we get a chance to see things from a different perspective. And like one case that I remember, it was so funny. It was the one wife had sent in a question, and when they sent in a question, they want me to post it anonymously majority of the time. So And the question was like, you know, why doesn't he pick his socks up off the floor?
Oh, my
just
God.
Why?
This is like the 12th
Can you please
time
just ask him why?
Right.
So I posed the question, and it's so funny because, like, some of the ladies are like, well, he just needs to take his socks up off the floor. And how old is he? He acting like he's 3 years old. If he is mature, he will pick his own socks off the floor. So then I chimed in and I said, mature wives, please chime in. So the seasoned wives, come on. The seasoned wives, like, look. You better be glad he's putting his socks on your floor.
Oh, I'm saying.
So, you know, it's time to shut it down. And people are like, oh, I never thought about it that way.
Exactly.
And then another lady is like, my husband works 16 hours a day, so I'm glad to pick his socks up off the floor because he go to work.
Right.
So then it starts, you know, it starts to quiet down. But it just shows you that the way you're looking at it is just one way. But there are other women who look at it, you know, some people look at it as the glass half empty. Some people look at it as half full. So that's what it helps us to do. And like I said, it's women all over. It's women, I think it's women in, last time I looked at the stats, I think it was like women in 34 different states. And I think we're up to like 22 different countries.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting a chance to hear from women all over, because that's our common bond, is that we all are wives, or we all desire to be wives one day. So, or
wonderful.
Some women have been wives. And so we have different discussions on our Facebook page, which is, our Facebook page is Anointed Wives Ministry. We're on Twitter at Anointed Wives. And then here in Chicago, we have different events. We have different workshops. We have Wives Night Out. We have couples events. And just to try to encourage married couples to have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
So like, we have fun nights, date nights, you know. We just did a married couples retreat through our church, and Anointed Wives Ministry was a vendor at that event. And it was just amazing to see. It was 192 couples there. To see these couples line dancing, doing salsa lessons, doing team building exercises, you know,
nice.
It was good to see them having fun. So I think once you get married, don't stop having fun. If you have fun as a single, once you get married, don't become a little, you know, what is it, a fuddy duddy?
A dullard. We'll say a dullard.
Right. Well, you can't do nothing. I'm married now. Well, I don't do that. Well,
right.
I don't do, yeah, whatever. Loosen up, you know, and have some fun with your spouse. But also still have some fun with your friends, you know, have a life, you know, outside, so that you guys can come back together and have some stimulating conversations. So,
you know, I'm going to stop you right there and just tell everyone, I mean, if you could believe it, we're already like almost 45 minutes in to the show. And we haven't even touched on everything that we're going to discuss. So I hope that you're not in a hurry, because I figured that this show was going to go over time. I knew it. But, you know, when we said it, I was like, yeah, this is not even going to be an hour show. This is going to take some time, because we're going to discuss some things.
Okay, I'm good.
But for our listeners, if you're listening via internet and you want to be able to chime in and hopefully not get cut off at the end of the hour, because we're still going to be talking, you can call the number 347-996-3160. Please do not, you know, because we're going to discuss a few more things that I know you want to hear and chime in on. If you have any questions or comments, you're welcome to post them in the event. You're welcome to post them on my wall, and I'm happy to relay them to our guest tonight, and let's just keep it going, because it's such a good conversation to have, and what you're doing is so wonderful. And we will announce, I just posted the Anointed Wives Ministry Facebook page in the event. Please stop over there, visit, give her some support, give her some encouragement. Let's support one another in everything that we're doing. When we're moving in such a positive way, I want us to all give each other just wonderful support. So please check out her page. She did say she's also on Twitter. We will be posting that as well. And then, Felicia, when you get a chance, if you're in the event, make sure you post your event this weekend to let people know about it, so that they can, you know, either contact you or connect with you somehow if they want to attend. Now, we already kind of discussed Anointed Wives Ministry, but we didn't get into like our little subtopics, which were, first, how do you make the transition from being the girlfriend to being the wife? We did talk, you know, we touched on forgiveness and listening and pride and selfishness to spend time with yourself. But did you have something that you wanted to share with us about, you know, what some of the wives-to-be in your group are experiencing, or what is your advice on becoming a wife, from girlfriend to wife? What about the transition?
I would say, like I said, for me, the transition was, it was more challenging, I think, for me. Maybe, and I say that again, that it's different for each person. But for me, it was harder because I got married when I was 34 years old. So I had been used to doing stuff pretty much my way for quite a long time. I even went away for high school, so I was really not trying to listen to nobody, so or consider anyone else. So it was a little more difficult for me to make that transition. But what helped me make the transition was, while I was in my singleness, or when I was unmarried, I started reading books about being a wife. And that's, like I told you, I started trying to connect with wives. And I also took a Sunday school class that was specifically for wives, and it was the funniest thing because they were all like, I've been married for 25 years, and I'm engaged, and I'm this, and I went last. So I was like, yes, I'm Felicia, I'm not married, not engaged, not even dating. Okay. Just want to know what this wife thing is about.
It's true. You do want to know. I think it's a good platform. It's excellent because a lot of people don't get that at home. You don't have these conversations at home. I have friends that we sat around and we talked about. You know, I asked some of my friends, what did your parents tell you about how to choose a husband? What did you ever? They were like, no, nobody talked to me about how to make a good choice. You know, so to know that these resources are available in your church or in your community is excellent. And I'm making notes now because I'm going to post it up later. But one of the things you said is to really kind of turn to books. What kind of books do you want do you recommend for people to turn to when it comes to understanding making that
role
transition?
Of a wife. Right. Mm-hmm. I think for me, the first book that I don't know if it was the first one, but one book I remember reading was Liberated Through Submission.
Mm-hmm.
That I think it was P.B. Bunny Wilson. And that book is really just breaking down submission.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a wife, you know, just being a wife, in marriage, submission is a huge part of marriage. You know, you're supposed to be submitted to God, you're supposed to be submitted to one another. But then in a biblical marriage, the wife is supposed to submit to her husband. But what that looks like and what that means is different for some people, but that book really helped me to understand that. But the book that really got me in regards to the wife thing, when I was like, I want to be a wife, it was this book called The Excellent Wife by Martha Peace. And I read that book, and I took that Sunday school class, and I was like, yeah, I'm good. I'm going to stay by myself. I'm not ready to do all that.
You put
no.
on your running shoes?
No, I was like, I'll pass.
Exactly. So you put on your running shoes and went the other way.
Yes, I ran like Forrest Gump. I was like, run, Forrest, run.
Wow.
I said, no, that is not that. I have to do all that? Oh, no. No.
I know, and I'm so glad that you're saying that, because a lot of women are just looking at the ring as the prize and not necessarily the experience of the marriage and the growth that the marriage is going to really make you have as the prize.
Yeah. That is so true. And I think for women, and I'm not saying that men don't do this, but the majority of the time, women are so fascinated with the wedding and so just into, oh, what kind of wedding we're going to have, what kind of dress we're going to have, how much money, you know, who we're going to invite. They don't even think about the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Like after the wedding day, now you have to be a wife. What does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a huge advocate. Like I said, that book deterred me, so I didn't become a wife then. I wasn't ready then, so I was like, yeah, that's, I'm not ready for that. So I had to sit with myself and say, yeah, you know that you are not ready to do none of those things.
Right.
But you'll be divorced if you do this. So just keep it moving.
Sure, she posts those books in the event, because I want our listeners to check them out.
Yeah, I will definitely. And so those were when I read those and I was by myself. But then once Chris and I decided to get married, premarital counseling helped put things in perspective again. And we did it with a guy who was a pastor who was also a biblical counselor. Mm-hmm. And he had been married, I think he and his wife have been married 50-something years now, so it was probably 40-something then. Mm-hmm. But he was just real honest with us, you know, about what marriage was, what marriage wasn't, and talking to me about being a wife, talking to Chris about being a husband. He gave us homework assignments. We went to see him for probably like 2-3 months before getting married, and we continued to see him after we got married.
Wonderful.
During that transition, we needed a third party.
I can imagine. I mean, listen, there needs to be three people to get me down the aisle personally, but... and that's just me. I honestly do believe in marriage. I think marriage is a wonderful thing. I'm sure being wife is a wonderful thing, but... And for me, I even said it to you. I said I'm not completely sure how I ended up really in this portion of weddings and marriage, because me personally, I'm just like, wow, that's, you know, it's rough. It's how do you do it? You know, how do you really get down the aisle and say I do after you really get a taste of what it takes to be a wife? You know, I have to question. I said, God, did you really give me that much strength? You know, you have to let me know.
Right. Yeah, he gives us the strength, but then also, like we said before, it's the maturity, but then it's also where it's done intentionally. So I decide that I am going to do this. You know, my husband and I said, we are going to do this, and this is how we're going to do it. Once we do this, divorce is not an option for us.
Right.
And that's the discussion that we had prior to getting married, and we talked about those deal breakers before we got married, so that we know what the deal breakers are beforehand.
Right, and I think that's what it is, because a lot of my friends, you know, we all say the same things. It's not about the intention. It's not about truly being fearful or commitment phobia. It's more about the individuals that you meet.
Mm-hmm.
when you kind of like weed through and have the conversations and really listen to what's happening with these individuals, you have to really decide whether or not you want to take on this person into your life, if you have the strength to deal with what comes with being in relationship with this person. You know, being in relationship is a serious thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
exactly.
I think that, you know, that's a big factor when you really start talking with the person that you think you want to intend to be with, and then you find some things out. You're like, no.
Right. Or let me just give you this little thing. Those things that you like, now they irritate you. You're like, that's not cute. That was cute 5 years ago, but baby, that's not cute. I don't even like that. Okay. I used to like it, now I don't like it. So you change, because we change as individuals.
Yes.
We just change. Our desires and stuff, everything changes, you know, whenever it decides to change. I don't know.
Okay. Now, well, we do have a question for you from the event. Mm-hmm. They want to know, does an Anointed Wives Ministry offer premarital coaching?
We've been doing premarital counseling, premarital coaching, whatever you want to call it. And it has been a blessing to just walk alongside a young lady as she's engaged and just walking her through that process to becoming a wife.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, we do offer that. And it, like I said, it's been a blessing. I have one young lady. I hope she's not listening. She's getting married soon. And so we'll do the session in the office. And she's like, okay, I need a phone session today.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, baby. She's like, the wedding is still on, but I need this. What about this? What about that? What about this? So yeah, so we it's not something that we had done, but I can recall about 5 wives that we walked them through that process while they were, you know, engaged or thinking about becoming engaged, got engaged, walked them through the process of that, and went and attended the wedding, and, you know, and still keep in touch with them and check on them just to see how they're doing in their role as a wife. And then every now and again, they'll call me or text me, I need to talk. I'm like, okay. What about this submission thing? What? I don't know, we talked about this, but I'm having problems.
At least they're able, you know, I really like that they're able to come and talk to you about it, and that you can lovingly,
mm-hmm.
you know, support them and say, listen, this is what has to be done. And now you can get in. You can either learn it now, or you're going to learn it later, or you know what, just walk away now.
And I think when the ladies who know me, so when if they call me or they text me, they want the truth. And I'm kind of in your face. So I'm like, look, sweetie, we talked about this during the dating and the engagement process. Uh-huh. So now you got to take put your big girl drawers on and keep it moving. Okay? So either you're going to submit or not. You know, it's not an issue. You wouldn't have married him if you didn't trust him to lead you. And my husband is a huge advocate of this. He's like, don't follow nobody who's not going nowhere.
Exactly.
If they're not going nowhere in the dating process, and they're not going nowhere in the engagement process, chances are they probably won't be going anywhere in the marriage. So, you have to figure that out before you say I do.
And if you don't trust them to lead you before you get married, please don't expect them to be able to do it after you say I do. And we've got the last 30 seconds again. If you don't want to miss any more of the show, you want to call 347-996-3160 because the cutoff time is coming in and you won't be able to call in afterwards. And like I said, this is an excellent conversation and we've got plenty more to go. But that's an excellent point that if he's not a leader before you get married, then you can still choose to marry him, but just know what you're getting into.
Right, and just know that it's going to take. Now, I do know some people who their husbands weren't natural leaders, but they weren't leading because the wife was doing all the leading. Mm-hmm. So she never allowed the husband to do anything. Because I'm going to do it. And one lady told me that one time, she's like, I want us to pray that my husband will be in his rightful position. And I said, no. We're not praying that.
Right.
And people were like, what do you mean? I said, no, we pray that you get out of his seat. That's what we're going to pray, okay? We're going to pray that you move out the way and let the man lead, okay? That's what we're going to pray. All right, Jesus.
All right. So we have books. We have premarital counseling. You also mentioned that you were going to Sunday school lessons that were centered around married couples. So, what would you say that is? What kind of, is it seminars? What else can single girls do to get a better idea?
I would say also at our church, we actually had a class, a pre-marriage class, a Sunday school class. And it's based on 13 weeks. And there's a book each time and they walk you through things that you want to know before you get married. So mm-hmm. I suggest if you don't have that in your church, there are some books, and I'll put some of the books, post some of those books. There's books that you can read. There's seminars you can go to. There's workshops that you can go to. And I just think that we prepare for everything else. When I went to school to get my bachelor's degree, that took 4 years. When I went to school to get my master's degree, that took 3 years. When I got my professional license, I couldn't get my professional license until 2 years post-master's. So mm-hmm. everything else requires us to study and prepare except for marriage.
Right, and that's the thing that we spend most. You're going to spend your life with this person. So we should have classes. It's an education. You know, my grandmother used to say, you're going to either get educated beforehand or you're going to get educated after. So you may as well pay attention beforehand because either way you're going to pay. Felicia, you there? Oh, boy. I think that either Felicia is on mute on her end. If you're listening out there, I'm so sorry. Felicia, I think that the call was accidentally dropped. I'm not sure that we can get her back in, but you know what? I'm going to give it a try. So please hang tight. And let's see what we can do here because we just started getting into the great conversation here. Give me 1 second. Bear with me. Bear with me and let's see what we can do. Oh, boy, I really want to apologize to the listeners because I'm not sure what happened. The call was dropped, and it is rare that they'll be able to get back and wait. Let's see what this is right here. Hello.
Hey, Cynthia.
Yes.
Hi, it's Deidre. How you doing?
I'm good, Deidre. How you doing?
All right. Is there any way you can call her from your own personal phone, like in a conference call?
I am actually about to try that right now. I'm so glad that you chimed in on that because the conversation was getting good.
I know. I've been on the whole time.
Hold on. Let's see what we can do.
Okay.
And you guys are going to have to let me know whether, you know, how well you're able to hear her. Let's see if she's leaving me anything on Facebook.
Hello.
Hey, I just saw your message on Facebook saying to call you back. I don't know what happened. We were just getting into the good conversation. And are you able to call back in?
Yes, when I called back in, it said there are no chains available.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of. That's why I was telling everyone, if you still want to be in on the conversation, to call in before we go off air because it's hard to get back in. But we're going to continue this conversation anyway. And I guess I'm going to have you on speaker on my cell phone. Deirdre, can you hear her?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, I'm talking about the listening.
I can hear.
Okay, good, because I have you on speakerphone on my cell phone for everybody else to hear, and I want to make sure that the listeners can actually hear you. We're being a little unorthodox tonight, but that's how good the conversation is. So we're gonna go ahead and keep it going.
Okay.
So, goody. I've got you on speaker. I've got you in front of the mic. So, what did we just leave off talking about? Deidre, are you on? Do you want to say something, or you have a question, or anything, or do you want me to? What do you want to do?
No, I was just trying. I was just trying to tell you that you probably could call her.
Okay, all right, then I'm gonna go ahead and put you back on hold, if that's okay, Deirdre. And I've got Felicia back on the cell phone, guys, listeners, because we are not done by any means. We are not done. We just finished having a conversation about some of the things that single women can do to prepare themselves to become a wife. And some of the tips that Felicia left with us was to, you know, get into books, visit, you know, find a support system, go to some premarital counseling, because if your education or your chosen field to work in requires you to have a degree or to spend some time in education in order to be good at what you do, then same thing goes for marriage. Spend some time getting educated as to what you need to do to really become a good wife, to become a good husband, to become a good partner, and continue to elevate in that. You know, we're going to talk more about this, and clearly we're going to have you on the show again because of this mishap. But the second thing that we were going to talk about was, how do you balance being a wife and having a life?
If you're buying a phone and I said it, I will buy it. No, just joking. It requires a lot of prayer,
mm-hmm.
a lot of planning,
mm-hmm.
and prioritizing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's in order.
Okay. Okay, so you know, let's talk about some examples of some of the things that happen. You know, when you're a busy wife, sometimes before children, and then you're a busy wife after children.
You're a busy-er.
Indeed, busy-er. So when it comes to balancing your life, and we're talking before motherhood right now. When you're balancing your life as a wife, what are some of the things that we're looking at? And I'm asking about, I mean, like, you still have to continue to have, like, date night. You still have to, you know, if you're in school. What if you're in school? What if you have a full-time job? You know, all of these different factors.
All of those things are important. Like, I remember when we first met Mary, Chris worked midnight. So Chris would leave home at 2 a.m. and he had to be at work at 40. And then Crystal stood off and said, noon. And then I would be at work when Chris stood off. And so then I would come home shortly after I would come home, reach. And then it would be time for him to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when you find the balance, you have to still make the marriage a priority. You know, your marriage comes before work. Your marriage comes before you have to learn. Your marriage comes before the earth support and all of that goes along with planning.
Mm-hmm.
Having a schedule. So, like, in our phone, we have calendars.
Right.
And we're on the same calendar so that we know. He knows what I have to do, I know what he has to do, so that we can take our phones around us.
Right. You know, for our listeners, I want to kind of repeat what she's saying just in case it's coming in a little muffled. Felicia said, you know, marriage comes before work. Marriage comes before what else, you said?
Before your sorority, the fraternity.
Before the sorority and the fraternity, your marriage comes first, and it takes good planning. So you want to be able to be a good planner so that you can have a good marriage. It takes good planning to have a good marriage. So that you're planning things together, have a calendar so that you know what things, you know, what events are happening in each other's life. If, you know, just in case you're two ships passing in the night, you know, when you first get married. Right. When you first get married, I know my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, you know, he was in school, she was working at night, you know, and back and forth. So sometimes you're two ships passing in the night, and to be able to have a calendar up so that you can stay abreast of what's going on in each other's lives and help with your communication is an excellent thing. So to be a good planner, to have a good marriage.
Right, and prioritize.
Right, and prioritize. So guys, ladies, marriage before the sorority, marriage before the fraternity, and marriage before work, marriage before everything, and, of course, keeping God first together.
Exactly. And I'm not saying, like, you don't have a life. Mm-hmm. You do need to have a life.
Mm-hmm.
And I want people to get the thought that once you get married, you just hang out with your husband 24/7, but that's not healthy. That's not healthy. That's not normal.
Right.
So you need to still have a life of your own. He has his life, but then you need to have your life together.
Okay. So we're going to move on to the next topic, and this is the last topic. We were talking about, does the media influence the role of a wife? If so, this is going to be, I don't know, we might have to do this in a separate show. I'm letting you know now that this is absolutely going to be a separate show. We're already on for like an hour and 20 minutes, and if we get into this, this is going to be like another hour on the air. So I'm putting it out there right now that, you know, please, Felicia, check your calendar. Let's have this conversation again sometime soon. I'm inviting you to come back next week if you have time.
Okay, let me see.
Yes, please check your calendar.
Hold on.
Okay.
Training, hold
on. Okay. And while she's checking, to our listeners, I just want to say again, please, in the event, I've posted the Facebook page to Anointed Wives Ministry. Please go over there. Check her out. She has a lot of things going on. Hold on. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm back. Yeah, it looks like it's open, but I'm going to check with my husband.
Okay, of course.
I
understand.
You don't have anything planned.
Okay, that's great. And, of course, he's invited to come on, too. Because, of course, I did want that to happen as well. But with this particular topic, with how much media influences our lives, I think that we need to go ahead and put that in a separate show.
Yeah,
that's going to
be here for a minute on
that
one.
That we are.
I'm going to step on some toes on that one.
Right, and plus... And plus, I want you to be on air again for this because, you know, the phone is okay, but I don't want them to miss a minute of the full conversation that we could have. So to our listeners, ladies and gentlemen, I'm so happy that Felicia, after she checks with hubby, of course, is coming back. She's invited to come back next Wednesday. She's so far agreeing tentatively to come back next Wednesday. I will move some guests around to go ahead and have this conversation because I really do believe that it is an important topic to address. We're going to go ahead and do that and say goodnight tonight, unfortunately, because having you on speakerphone is great, but no. No.
Not the same.
Yeah, we need your voice. We need your voice on the air, and I want everyone to make sure that they hear you clearly and that they hear the conversation clearly. So, Felicia, I'm going to call you back. I want to thank Felicia right now for coming on tonight and talking about Anointed Wives Ministry, introducing us to what it is that she does, the importance of knowing how to become a wife, of making the transition from girlfriend to wife, and everything that it takes to really be a good wife. I so enjoyed the conversation, and I'm so glad for all the supporters as well from Facebook and Twitter as well, and just around the U.S. because we have so many listeners from New York, from East Coast to West Coast and the Midwest. I thank you right now for your support. It is really, really encouraging. I can tell you that we've already reached 27,000 listens for the show, which tells me that you really are enjoying what we're doing here, and I just want to make sure that we get better and better at it. If you have any topics that you'd like us to discuss, please do send it in. You can send it to info@bridaltribe.com. And we will find some guests. We will make sure that we address those things for you. We will address your questions. We will address your concerns. So, again, we're like an hour and a half in. And we're going to post this show later on tonight. So be aware that it will be going up tonight, and we will be continuing discussion next week. We are a company about love, beauty, weddings, and marriage fun. Please. We're devoted to love. We hope to see you next week, and you have a wonderful night.